On today's Compassion Radio.
How many of us have been in situations with family or friends where we've said something that we know the gospel's there, or given our testimony about something that God's been doing in our lives, and people react in strange ways?
Right. Oh, I see it happen a lot.
It doesn't seem to be rational. I mean, what you said was good about what God has done in your life, the changes that have happened, but somehow it causes offense. We're often left on our heels thinking, what did I just say? How could I possibly have offended them by saying something so good? And yet, the very presence of Jesus sometimes in us can be disturbing. Honey, it's Monday, and we're back for our Chasing the Word series. We're pushing into the final run of Paul's life, and it seems like the stress is amping up on him, and I kind of see echoes of that in our world today. This past couple weeks, with the news coming from all quarters of this world, and now that things like the COVID-19 virus are being taken seriously by world governments, it seems like, again, it's all about us. I don't want in any respect to make light of the fact that we are facing some serious challenges as a country. But we're trying to find our way grounded in the Word even when trouble comes.
Right.
And that's what this whole series has been about. How did the first century church, who faced incredible difficulties and persecution, brutality, violence, sickness, how did they respond?
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen how they've responded. It's been by the Spirit and with His power and authority. So we can take great courage, I think, in knowing that the same God who was very active in establishing this church back in the first century is absolutely committed to His body in the 21st century.
Absolutely.
So we'll dig right into chapter 24 today. We invite those who are sitting somewhere where they can grab a Bible and open it up with us to do so. Otherwise, we'll read a lot of it to you from different translations, and we'll try to suss out some of the nuance between the way different translators have interpreted and understood the small things that were not obvious in the structure of how it was written, but in context, what was going on in the lives of the people who lived it and those who wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll dig right into chapter 24. This is at the end of a big intellectual confrontation in Jerusalem. Paul's finally had his chance to speak to the Jews of all sorts, the Sadducees, Pharisees, and believers, the atheists. Before the entire nation of Israel, he's made his case for what God is doing amongst the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody now has a reason to be angry with him.
Right.
And now he's been bucked up the chain. He's been moved down by the coast in the dark of night with a big escort to make sure that no one tries to kidnap him and kill him on the way.
Well, there was a price on his head.
Yes, there was.
There was a group out to get him.
And a solemn vow being made by these people saying, we are not going to eat until we've killed Paul. I would imagine that most of the people that have made that vow eventually got hungry enough to eat again.
I would think so.
I doubt they died of starvation to prove their point. They see no reason why they couldn't succeed at their plans.
Arrogant vows.
Yes, very much so. And of course, God has other plans. So we're down in the Praetorium of Herod, waiting for an audience with Felix, who's the Roman governor now. Chapter 24, verse 1. 5 days later, the high priest Ananias came down from Jerusalem to Caesarea, and some elders and an attorney named Tertullus, acting as a spokesman and a counsel. They presented to the governor their formal charges against Paul. After Paul had been summoned, Tertullus began the complaint against him, saying to the governor, since through you we have attained great peace, and since by your foresight reforms are being carried out for this nation, in every way, in every place, most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this with all gratitude. But so that I do not weary you further, I beg you to grant us, by your kindness, a brief hearing. For we have found this man to be a public menace, and one who instigates dissension among the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the heretical sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to desecrate the temple, but we took him into custody, and we intended to judge him by our law. But Lysias the commander came, and with great force took him out of our hands, and ordered his accusers to come before you. By interrogating him yourself concerning all these matters, you will be able to determine the truth about these things with which we charge him.
Well, in here, we're seeing that this lawyer is pontificating greatly about events that actually didn't really happen the way he says them.
A lot of fabrications and twisting of the facts.
And he's also buttering Felix up ad nauseum. I mean, he's just, oh, excellent Felix. Yeah. Oh, you know,
and
beautiful,
of course,
sweet
we
governor.
Look back through the lens of history. We assume that they're sucking up to the powers and authorities that be. But it also might have been part of the formal expectation the courts at the time. So I'll have to give him a little bit of credit. He's doing the formal things required to give subservience to an imperial power that has absolute authority over the Holy Land at the time. Yet still, we look at it and say, this is somebody who is just trying to wheedle his way in and make Felix feel good about this. My guess is that Felix sees right through this.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Or the writers wouldn't have mentioned it quite so much.
Well, the rest of them joined in with their vigorous testimony in support of the opening statements.
And they insisted that these things were in fact so. So there's a rabble already happening in the court. Now, when the governor nodded for him to speak, Paul answered, "Knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation, I make my defense cheerfully and with good courage. As you can easily verify, it has been no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. Neither in the temple, nor in the synagogues, nor elsewhere in the city did they find me carrying on a discussion or disputing with anybody, or causing a crowd to gather. Nor can they present evidence to you to prove what they now bring against me. But I confess this to you, that according to the way, which they call a divisive and heretical sect, I do worship and serve the God of our fathers confidently, believing everything that is in accordance with the law of Moses, and that is written in the prophets, having the same hope in God which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of the dead, both of the righteous and of the wicked. In view of this, I also do my best and strive always to have a clear conscience before God and before men. Now, after several years, I came to Jerusalem to bring to my people charitable contributions and offerings. They found me in the temple presenting these offerings after I had undergone the rites of purification, without any crowd or uproar. But there were some Jews from the west coast province of Asia Minor who ought to have been here before you to present their charges, if they have anything against me. Or else let these men tell what crime they found me guilty of when I stood before the council, the Sanhedrin, other than for this one statement which I shouted out as I stood among them. For the resurrection of the dead I am on trial before you today." But Felix, having a rather accurate understanding about the way, put them off, saying, "When Lysias the commander comes down, I will decide your case." Then he ordered the centurion to keep Paul in custody, but to let him have some freedom. And he told the centurion not to stop any of his friends from providing for his needs. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him talk about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, which is honorable behavior and personal integrity, and the judgment to come, Felix himself became frightened and said, "Go away for now, and when I find a convenient time, I will send for you again."
It's interesting to me that he's married to a Jewish woman.
Yeah.
So he probably knows quite a bit about Judaism, about their faith and temple worship, and even possibly the things that Paul was talking about and the purification rituals that they go through. He's familiar with the things they're talking about, and he's not having to get up to speed on all these Jewish customs.
He probably knows a lot of the dictionary.
Yeah, I would think so.
So the glossary of theological terms that Paul is using, this man would have been speaking in languages that were common to Paul as well. Perhaps they're using Greek. Mm. Perhaps they're using Aramaic. We don't know. But Felix, being a governor, would have some education that would get him familiar with living in that area of the world, kind of like ambassadors do now. Mm-hmm. And I would think back in that time, the governors kind of functioned as both ambassador and secular authority. His job is to keep the peace where they are on behalf of the empire, but also to deal with the day-to-day. So he's got plenty of things on his plate. I noticed something here about his response because it's recorded this way. He doesn't have an intellectual disagreement with Paul. He doesn't seem to have any sort of strong argument in this game. But something happens as he listens to what Paul says about these subjects that disturbs him. And I can always attribute that to the idea of the Holy Spirit stirring things that are not comfortable.
Right.
And we've seen that around the world, that sometimes people tell the truth, and the truth is not harsh in our eyes, and it's certainly not meant to be condemning or personally invective towards someone. But the truth sometimes truly hurts. And it seems to me like the reaction that Felix is giving to him while he's addressing these issues, something's troubling him. The truth is being laid bare about what truth and reality really is, and it's got to be unnerving. And so he responds to it in an emotional way, and that emotion is recorded in this response.
Right.
I hope you're enjoying this special Compassion Radio series even half as much as we have while we're creating it. Since we took responsibility for the 75-year-old ministry, Sandy and I have committed ourselves to chase the Word together in our own lives and to challenge you, our partners, to do the same. Because we can't really step out in faith and do world-changing work without it. The Word is our power and our life. I've said it many times on this program. The Word is not an it, it's a who. And that who is Jesus Himself. We'll be at our best when we stick with God's Word and let Him guide us where He wants us to go. You also know that the what and the where for Compassion Radio has always been at the very leading edge of where God's hand is at work, anywhere in the world that might be. Every day, we invite you to join us through your faithful prayers, actions, and giving. The importance of your partnership with us in 2020 has never been greater. Every time we go to the front lines of faith, it inspires your faith and your giving to the Great Commission as much as it does ours. But I can't say yes until our faithful partners, and that means you, step up and make it possible. It's our strong desire to be going deeper, to go farther, to be braver than we've ever been in this year of 2020, and to bring you the stories that you just won't hear anywhere else. So I'll ask you this, will you help us do that? Your gift today is absolutely essential to make that possible, and I can't emphasize that strongly enough. Friends, I simply ask that you would keep giving so that we can give back to the world through our strategic ministry partners and to you with inspiring programming on this radio station and over the internet. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website. It's available 24/7. Our safe and secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. Of course, you can also put a stamp on an envelope and mail your gift to our Compassion Radio office, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way. Sometimes people tell the truth, and the truth is not harsh in our eyes, and it's certainly not meant to be condemning or personally invective towards someone. But the truth sometimes truly hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me like the reaction that Felix is giving to him while he's addressing these issues, something's troubling him. The truth is being laid bare about what truth and reality really is, and it's got to be unnerving.
Mm-hmm.
And so he responds to it in an emotional way, and that emotion is recorded in this response.
Right.
How many of us have been in situations with family or friends where we've said something that we know the gospel's there, or we've given our testimony about something that God's been doing in our lives, and people react in strange ways?
Right. Oh, I see it happen a lot.
It doesn't seem to be rational. I mean, what you said was good about what God has done in your life, the changes that have happened, but somehow it causes offense. We're often left on our heels thinking, what did I just say? How could I have possibly offended them by saying something so good? And yet, the very presence of Jesus sometimes in us can be disturbing. And we have to kind of live with the reality that because Jesus is present, that the reaction of the spirits that speak against Christ, the Antichrist spirits, rise up within people and disturb them.
Well, to some, we are the aroma of death and not life, because their lives are rooted in their sin. And when we are present, or when we bring light to an area that's dark, your eyes can have a difficult time adjusting to it.
Yep. Suddenly coming into bright lights when you've been in a dark cave for a long time.
Exactly.
You can get literally dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
You might even fall over because it's just too bright to stand.
Mm-hmm.
Those things, I think, are metaphorical, of course, but there's something about the actual physical response that Felix has, which I think is spiritually based. Now, we go on from what happened next, and apparently the writers, Luke probably here, is getting the word from the court about what's really going on. Is that at the same time, Felix was also hoping to get money from Paul as a bribe, so he continued to send for him quite often and talked with him. I doubt that Felix is really all that worried about wealth,
mm-hmm.
but he certainly is worried about keeping up his reputation for being someone who's consistent. Consistency is integrity. It doesn't mean your integrity is based on truth, mm-hmm. but it means that you are consistent. So if you have lived in a corrupt society where money talks and you don't want to let down your guard and let someone off for free because that would ruin the whole racket, you're going to provide at least courteous access to you for the purpose of maintaining the regime, which is money speaks.
Right.
And even if he was secretly excellent in character, let's say that he received bribe from people who he knows who are innocent and turns right around and gives it to the poor, it's still a corruption.
Yeah.
But we don't know what his personal motivations are. We just know that he was expecting a bribe. So you have a reasonable excuse with his people for why he let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like bail bonding now, but you keep the money. That is the reality, I think, in the court. It doesn't seem like Felix is bad-natured or that he wants to diminish Paul or destroy him. He's very curious about him, but he also knows he can't let down. Mm-hmm. He runs the risk of not saving face here. So he's stuck.
Well, and he looks weak.
Yeah, and you can't look weak when you're an imperial occupying force. Mm-hmm. But after, and this is great, but after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded in office by Porcius Festus. And wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul imprisoned. Felix might have intended and hoped that he could have gotten resolved, but when he didn't want to upset the apple cart too much or create a big problem for his successor. So he left Paul in prison. Maybe with apologies.
Yeah, and I can imagine that in that two-year period, Paul was quite busy. Well, I wouldn't have any problem believing that he had established a small little church in that prison that he was in.
And scholars probably have some thoughts about the kind of letters he wrote to the churches around the empire during that time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure which ones they are right now, but I'm certain that he wasn't wasting his time just sitting around twiddling his thumbs.
No, I don't think so.
The correspondence that we have that's gathered together in our New Testament is a good portion of the writings that happened between the apostles and the churches, but it's not all of it.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there are missing letters that are alluded to in other documents. And oh, to be able to read those things someday.
Mm.
I think heaven's going to have a perfect record of all that correspondence.
Great
and what
library
going
there.
Through. Of course it would be. How the church really got along in parts of the empire that we never hear about
mm-hmm.
now. But that's a record that's in God's heart. And he'll tell us all about that someday, I'm sure of that. In the meantime, he's being prolific. He's preaching, he's talking, he's sharing. Anybody who comes his way, I'm sure he gave his time and attention. And there is something that's very clarifying about having no other options. You can focus on what's in front of you. They talk about crucifixion being that kind of calling. When Jesus says, follow me and pick up your cross, you're aimed a certain direction, you're not going anywhere else, and you know when the day is done, there's nothing else you can do because you're on a cross.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that mental image of facing the gallows idea, that there's nothing left but to focus the mind. God's going to have to deal with this his way because there's no other way out for me. Paul's in that situation over a period of time. He can't go anywhere, nor do I think he really wants to. He's just waiting for God's timing to move him on. But there's also an enforced rest. Now, this is not a hard imprisonment. He's not being chained up like he's going to be later in Rome.
Right. It doesn't seem to be, no.
House arrest. So he has luxuries around him he may not have had for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
So probably his health's improving and he's getting stronger and more alert. So God's making good use of those things in his life, too. Sometimes God gives us suffering to get us to focus down on the things that he wants our hearts to know.
Mm-hmm.
I think other times he gives us abundance so we can flourish even physically in a way that be able to produce well. I think this is a time of high production for him.
Mm. This is Paul's strange way of being called to rest. He's been traveling a lot over the course of, 10, 15 years and doing a lot of footwork and literally on foot. And we know that he was beaten several times and left for dead multiple times throughout the book of Acts we read. So this is a good time for him to rest and to regain his strength, like you said. We know, because we've read the book, that more trials are coming.
Yes.
And he will be ultimately united with Christ.
Yeah.
And he's preparing him for that. I mean, Paul has set his face to go to Rome and knows that that's going to be the end of his life. So this time, I believe God is saying to him, Paul, take this time to rest, but use it to correspond or to teach those that have been following along with you. Give them your wisdom and knowledge and strengthen them in the fight that's up ahead so that they will be useful for the kingdom after you're gone.
Productive.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of better timing for us to consider this question right now when millions of people around the world are being forced into a sabbatical.
Oh, that's a good point.
I mean, there are kids that are sitting at home wondering what to do next, and families not knowing what to do with their schedule. There's
college students that are not going back to
college, is shutting down until this virus passes.
Right.
And during this time, it can drive people stir crazy. It can make people depressed. It can amp up the anxiety. It could also be a time of real and genuine rest. And that's what I'm praying for now, because these correspondences can continue. And this right here, this program you're hearing right now, mm-hmm. is our correspondence to you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are sitting somewhere and your life has been disrupted and you're asking God to make sense of it and do something with it, well, you've just joined a very good sorority or fraternity. Because Paul and the other apostles went through these kind of forced sabbaticals as well, and they made good use of it. So if there's anything I would say, honey, about the end of this particular chapter, when you have those kind of forced stillnesses, even if it's not something you wanted, don't waste the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, if we're going to pray about something right now, we have an entire world that seems to be getting forced into a rest they didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
May God use this in a way that actually builds the body and stills our souls. That's my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, let's go ahead and pray about that right now. Your Father in heaven, so much is changing in our world in the 21st century. We have no idea what's coming next. We also know that we have a different world than Paul and his apostles and friends lived in, but the same issues. There are reasons why the church was pushed to the very edge and your Spirit made good of the time. And we see in Paul's life, even from this chapter 24 of Acts, that a forced sabbatical can be highly productive. And for all the millions of people around this world that are being forced into a different mode right now because of the physical necessity of trying to stop a disease from spreading, I pray that you would speak peace over the body of Christ, especially over their families. If their kids are home for weeks at a time and schools are not open, or people mm-hmm. are being told to work from home,
mm-hmm.
or the normal routines of life are disrupted and you can't go where you want to go. Lord, during this time especially, may our prayers be urgent, but not panicked. May they be focused by your Spirit and not scattered with our feelings. But even if we are scattered, even if we are crazy in the way we talk to you, I pray that your Spirit will be gentle with us and help us to hear what you say back to us, because it's going to be a comfort and not a condemnation. So during these times, Lord, I pray your Spirit would lead the way in how to pray, that we would speak to you with a reverence and awe and gratitude that should be given to you as worship every day, no matter what the circumstances are. God, speak peace again over our family out there, and especially our listeners on Compassion Radio today, to speak into them what you want them to hear today, so that your peace can reign and your joy can bubble up and be full and overflowing in the households all across this land. And may you use that joy to transform the circumstances of others and bring them into spiritual reality, that they would see you at work in your people like never before. And may you bring many people to a saving knowledge of you through this time of uncertainty in our nation and our world. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We prayed before we started this whole series that God would provide divine appointments along the way as we did this series.
Mm-hmm.
There's no surprise to me in that regard that we're in this chapter at this time in our history.
Makes sense.
Not because I could see it coming,
right.
But because God seems to make those things coincide. Funny how that happens. We're going to dig into the next trials in life as Paul continues his journey on the next Compassion Radio Chasing the Word series. Maybe by that time, things will have changed in our world again, and we'll deal with those issues at the same time as we're studying the Word and clinging to the truth
mm-hmm.
that is eternal.
Right.
It was good then, it's good now, it will always be good.
Well, I would encourage our listeners to take the time that they have, if they feel stuck at home with small children or big children, whatever, to take this time to unplug a little bit and get that big old puzzle out that you've been putting aside for a while.
You need something as simple as relaxation.
Just relaxing together and just enjoy the time that you have as a family. Make the best of it.
If you're unplugged from your normal routine, God may say, up the game a bit. Unplug for some other things too and make time for the people around you. So while you've got them, I pray that you would, in fact, bless them by your attention and your gift of time.
Mm.
Thanks again, folks. We'll see you on the next Compassion Radio. As we close the program today, can I ask you for something? Let us know how we're doing. Here's my direct email, which you can use anytime. BramFloria at CompassionRadio.com. Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training in theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry. These are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. You know, for 75 years, Compassion Radio partners like you have absolutely been up to the challenge. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of 2020? Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before. It begins with you and your brave investment in kingdom communication and kingdom action. Now, to reach us 24/7, to learn more about our history, our projects, to hear our podcast, and to make your love gift, simply go to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. You can also write us and send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you, friends. I'm Bram Floria, wishing you a great day in the Lord.